Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody excited to be in church today?
Yes.
Everybody, I trust, had a good Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Are you thankful that it's over?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love holidays. You know, I think I love more the idea of holidays than I actually love the holidays themselves. Praise the Lord. But glory to God. The idea of it's good. Amen. Maybe we'll get to celebrate it sometime on earth the way it should be. Praise God. But God is good. He loves us. He gives us these times to reflect. And as Christians, we should always reflect. Amen. Glory to God. Well, you know, something came to me as my wife was talking about being a good disciple. And I just wanted to share it with you. You know, and that's a, you know, if you were going to college to, say, be a doctor or something, a surgeon like that, you know, something like that, when you're a freshman in college, you wouldn't rightfully get mad because you're not able to operate on people. You know what I mean? You know that there's a process of time and there's things that you still have to learn, you know. And so as Christians, I just saw that in conjunction with our faith, amen, that we're, you know, we don't start off with so great faith that we can move mountains necessarily, amen. Although the ability's there, we don't start off at that place, you know. And so we shouldn't get frustrated by that. But we do need to be good students, good disciples. And we want to make sure that we are so. Otherwise, it's pointless to go to college. If you're not going to do the work, it's pointless to sit there in class, isn't it? Amen. If you're not gonna study, it's pointless to take the test because you're not gonna pass it. Amen. Well, the same thing is with us, you know, with the body of Christ. Is if we don't, you know, if we don't determine that in our hearts that we're gonna be good disciples or good students of the Word of God, then we might as well just not do it because we're not gonna get anywhere. You know, really, what we see a lot of people doing is judging Christianity by Christians who aren't good disciples. And that's a shame that we get judged that way, but we do, you know. We get judged often by the people who do wrong and not the people that are doing right, you know. And that's the way the world looks at us, but that's the way the world is. But unfortunately, that has also crept into the church, and oftentimes Christians are judging things the same way the world is, amen. And we need not do that, amen. We need to be a little bit bigger, a little bit better, praise the Lord. As Pastor Michael said, we need to put on our big boy pants. Praise the Lord and see what the Lord has for us. Glory to God. So when we have correction, we know it's not a bad thing. Praise the Lord. That's a pre-introduction part one. This is pre-introduction part two. Praise the Lord. I wanted to ask you all a question this morning. Have you ever done anything stupid?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I just had to look up and see your faces when I said that. I just love to look at you. Praise the Lord. You know, if you've done something stupid, there's generally one of two reasons that you've done it. Praise the Lord. You've either act solely based on your emotions. That will always cause you to do something stupid.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Or you've thought it out in such detail that it became part of you. Yeah. Amen. There's only two reasons why we act stupid. Nobody makes you act stupid. Why? Because nobody makes you act. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, nobody makes you act. The devil don't make you act. God don't make you act. Your neighbor don't make you act. You might think they do. Praise the Lord. You might think that your spouse is making you act. You're making me feel this way. They're not making you do anything. Praise the Lord. You have a choice on how you respond to it. Amen. And so we have to remember that if we've done something stupid, we generally can't blame anybody but ourselves. Now, don't get in condemnation if you're constantly doing something stupid. Just get it right. Amen. Yeah. We don't want to be people that get in condemnation either. And my job is not to get you in condemnation. But we have to remember that stupidity or stupid things, praise the Lord, they happen not because God has willed them or not because that we have an opposition, but because we've given into that. Now, a lot of times we don't know how to not act stupidly, and so we need to learn that, and that's part of what the local church is meant to do, is to teach you how to not act stupidly. But you have to listen, praise the Lord. You can't do it anyways and say, well, it doesn't work. Again, going back to the freshman in college, you have to be a good disciple, amen, good student, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, today's message is called Why We Come. Amen. Why we come. Why do we come to God? Why do we come to the local church? You know, and this is really, this was actually birthed out of impartiality anyways, birthed out of what Pastor Michael was preaching last Sunday and what a help to us it was, praise the Lord. I got a lot of direction and I got a lot of correction in that message. You know, I realized that, you know, God always has us step up. Or always has us reach up. So even when we pray, God's desire is that we pray up. if you just are focusing on your own stuff, if you're just praying, if you're constantly, if you think about your prayer life and think about what it is, and if it's constantly about you, then that's why you're not getting answers. Because that your prayer life is not meant to be about you, amen? And we're going to see that here today in various forms. But the attitude is the idea is of why we come is knowing why do we come to God. Because if you know why you come to God, then you know whether or not you'll get the answers you need. Amen. You know, in John, 5:14, right? Praise the Lord. It says if we know that he hears us, do we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him? Amen. If we pray according to his will, we know that we will have anything that we ask of him. Amen. But how do we know his will? We don't know his will if we're not looking in that direction. God's will is imperative. Amen. We rejoice over Jeremiah 29:11 that God has plans for us, but we have to remember that in Jeremiah 29:11 it says that he has plans for us. In fact, that we have to understand quite frankly that his plans are his plans. They're not our plans. They're not what we decide. They're not what we woke up today and thought would be a good idea. They're God's plans. Now listen, we are to be led by the Spirit. We are to be people that are led by the Spirit. But a lot of Christians don't know how to be led by the Spirit, but think they do. Ooh, they think they do. They get some feeling on the inside and they say, oh, this must be God because I feel it and it feels good. Or this is something I want, so it must be God. But that's not God. God doesn't work that way. Amen. God doesn't work according to your feelings. Now, I'm not saying that there can't be a feeling. A lot of times, there are times when there is a feeling. But there's many times when there's no feeling at all. And you have to know that if you know God, you'll know that you can still move forward based on no feeling at all. Amen? Because God does not lead us. I said he does not lead us. He does not lead us. He does not lead us. He does not lead us by what looks good. He does not lead us by what feels good. He does not lead us even by what sounds good. He leads us according to the Spirit, according to the Word. Or by the Spirit, according to the Word. Amen? Praise the Lord. We have got to get people connected to God. Just showing up to church is not going to help or to change anything. We have to get people connected. You have to be connected to God. There's plenty of times where, there's people, at any given point when I walk down the street or if I'm in a store, any one of these people that don't know the Lord, and there's lots of them out there, any one of them I could lead to God. But not everyone would be willing to go. And so I'd be wasting my time if I just started at the first person I got to in the store and just started going through. You know, some people approach evangelism that way, and that's not God either. Why? Because there needs to be direction. There needs to be plan and purpose, because not everything you're going to do is going to be fruitful. I have seen people that have come into this church, maybe because somebody has dragged them, maybe somebody told them they should be here, and they've finally gotten here, and they've gotten here, and they haven't listened to a word I said. And then they never come back because they're not interested in it. Praise the Lord. If somebody's not interested in it, you're going to have a hard time helping them by preaching to them. So what you have to do is you have to pray for them. Amen. Glory to God. But you're not going to pray for them if you're focused on just you and what you're going through. But we have to get this understanding that the only way that we are going to go forward in God is if we let go of what we came in with. The only way we're going to go forward in God is if we let go of what we came in with. The only way we're going to go forward with God, the only way we're going to get into God's blessing, the only way we're going to get into all that God has for us, the only way. There is no other way, folks. There is no other way. The only way we're going to go forward in God is if we let go of what we came in with. If you insist on keeping your ideas, if you insist on keeping your ways, if you insist on doing things always the same way you did, you'll never, ever, ever get what God has for you. Now listen, that's not a rebuke, that's just truth, amen? There's a difference between rebuke and truth, amen? A rebuke would be if I came up to you and said, you are not getting the fullness of what God has for you, and the reason is because you have not let go. That's a rebuke. But a rebuke is not when I tell you the truth. The truth is just the truth. Some people like it, some people don't. It doesn't really matter to me whether they do or not. All that matters to me is that I do what God has told me to do, and that's preach the truth, because it's only the truth that will set you free. And what's the truth? The truth is you hearing things you don't like to hear. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Sometimes that's the way it is. Sometimes I don't like that. Well, I've learned to change my attitude. Praise the Lord. In fact, I think next week I'm going to do tithes and offerings because the Lord showed me something even during that. Amen. Because I was hungry for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. That's a free, no charge. But you know, well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't want to get off too far. But we have to get people to get connected to God. That's the most important thing. Just showing up to church is not going to help or change anything. Praise the Lord. And the way that I want to explain it to you, it came to me like this, and I thought this was a pretty good example. But what if we got together, you know, Sunday morning, and we got together and we did the announcements. You know, we did our first song, did the announcements. My wife got up here and did the tithes and offerings, praise the Lord, and we collected the tithes and offerings, and we said, okay, folks, thank you for being with us today. You are dismissed. Might think it's weird. Some of you might come back the next week. But what if the next week we come back, we got up here, did one song, and my wife got up and did announcements, or I got up and did announcements, or someone else got up and did announcements, took up tithes and offerings, and we said, okay, folks, you are dismissed. Yeah. Now you'd be thinking, ah, something's going on here. I don't quite like that. Yeah. I don't like that, right? Yeah. Why? Because you're paying, but you're not getting anything out of it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. How would you like it if you went to the show? You know, don't you hear people getting mad at famous musicians and stuff like that? They have a concert and they don't show up. Yeah. You know, I've heard Snoop Dogg, not that I go watch his stuff, and I would highly suggest you don't, but I've heard that he'll show up to a concert sometimes an hour late, and people are ticked at him. All these people that love him are ticked at him. Why? Because they're not getting what they paid for. Yeah. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, it's the same thing with us. If we show up to church... If we just show up to church and we got all the cares of the world on us and we're just not willing to let go of anything, we're doing the same thing as if the pastor got up and said, you're paying, but you're not getting anything out of it. You're showing up. You're taking your time to be there. You might as well. If you're going to come to God in prayer, if you're going to read your word at all, if you're going to profess that you are a Christian, you might as well get all you paid for. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's nothing worse than going and got. Have you ever gone to a store with your list in your head? I am famous for going to the store with my list in my head. And like a fool, every time I do it, I sit there and think, I'll remember everything. And every single time I leave without fail, without something that I went for. We need to come to church expecting to get all that God has brought us together for. Amen. And we need to. So I say this is to people that, not to the people that aren't here. I say this to people who are present. We need to make sure that we come in hungry. We come in getting all that. The only way to do that, though, is to connect to what God is doing. To connect to what he's doing in our lives. To truly put it off on him. Amen. And of course, we learned so much last week about praying up and praying for your pastors and praying for the, because ultimately, when you understand the way that things work, when you pray for us, we operate effectively. And when we operate effectively, then your lives get blessed as a result, because that's the order God has placed it. He's placed us, the leadership in your life, in the spiritual things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I'll say this again. You know, people come to churches and they resent sometimes that a pastor will be leadership to them, but they'll think nothing of going to a college and thinking that the professor's got to teach them something, or that the professor's there to teach them something, or to take them somewhere, amen, to lead them somewhere, amen. Praise the Lord, glory to God. Everybody hates executives of companies when they find out what they make, but they all love it when the company prospers. Yeah, because that's what an executive does. See, a lot of times people don't think they're doing anything, but that's just because they don't understand what they do. Yeah. And just because you don't understand what somebody else does doesn't mean that it's not good for you. We need to be people that put on our big boy pants or big girl pants, praise the Lord, and understand that sometimes there are things that are above us and we need to reach for them things. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But when we stay, I'm going to get it in the word, I promise, but when we stay on this lower plane of just, oh, woe is me. When you come into church and you're hurting and you're broken or something like that, if that's how you come in, that's fine. Come into church that way. Come get your answers. But if you stay there, it's nobody's fault but your own. I said, if you stay there, it's nobody's fault but your own. Because you, unless the pastor is not preaching the word of God, and I'm telling you, I know I'm preaching the word of God, amen? I know because I've seen the change in some lives, and I've seen other lives not change. Praise the Lord. If year after year after year, you're the same, month after month after month, year after year after year, you're the same, it is not God's fault. You need to connect to what he's doing. And if that's you, and you're like, I just don't know what to do, pastor, I don't know how to connect, come see me, and we'll talk about it. I'll help you. Amen? Because that's what I'm here for. Praise the Lord. But you have to be willing to go along. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, Hebrews 11:6. We don't know this scripture at all, but we're going to go to it. I don't think I've ever preached out of this scripture ever before. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe. I'm going to stop right there. Hallelujah. He who comes to God must believe. He who comes to God must believe. Guess what? She who comes to God must believe. He who comes to God, she who comes to God, they who come to God, whatever you want to call yourself, how you come to God, you must believe. That's imperative to coming to God. Because we're just told just before that, without faith, it is impossible to please him. That impossible means not possible. It is not possible. Praise the Lord. You have to. Praise the Lord, God. Hallelujah. You have to come to him with belief. Belief is simply this. Belief is trust. It means to trust. It means to listen to this. To believe means to be committed. Be persuaded of. Place confidence in. Praise the Lord. Being committed is faith. How do we know that? Because he says without that, it's impossible to please him. And he says what that is he says faith. Because he who comes must come believing. Amen? Must come committed. I've committed something to him. I've determined that this is the way it is. This is the truth. Amen? This is the help. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There is nothing worse in a relationship than to have one person in the relationship that is not committed. They are the worst kinds of relationships. Amen? Praise the Lord. I could sit down and I could preach a message about a husband and wife marriage relationship, that type of marriage. I could sit down and preach a message that would tick people off. I would have every liberal screaming, pulling their hair out because of what I'm saying. I'm just telling you the truth. Because what the problem with most marriages is one or both people are not committed. Amen? Praise the Lord. But that is true with our marriage with God. Are you married to God? Are you committed to him? Amen? See, it's not just that you show up. It's that how you show up. Are you committed to God when you show up? When you come to prayer, see, what I've noticed is this, that there's a lot of people that will go to prayer and that they'll get the answer. Maybe they'll get relief for a minute. And as soon as they have their answer, all of a sudden, all their faithfulness goes out the window. As soon as they have their answer, all of a sudden, they go. You know what I mean? They're somewhere else. They want nothing to do with God. I know all this stuff. I hear all this stuff. But now I got my answer. Now I feel good. So now I'm just going to go out and do my own thing. That's a person who's not committed. Listen, they're not somebody who's going to receive any of the Bible. James tells us, let not that person suppose they will receive anything from God. Do you know that there are prayers that are unanswered because God knows that the person will not commit themselves? He knows it. Have you ever prayed for somebody and maybe you prayed for something to happen and that thing hasn't happened for them? I've done that. I've prayed for people and I even went to God and I'm like, Lord, I prayed. I prayed and I asked you. But God, the Lord showed me in that person. Yeah, as soon as they got it though, they ran. They were only there to get something from God. They didn't care about God. Praise the Lord. How would a relationship in our daily lives, if you had a spouse, praise the Lord, or a boyfriend, girlfriend, I don't care what you have. If you had a friend. You had a friend that just only came to you when they needed something. I have a friend like that. I use the term friend loosely. But my wife and I joke about it. The absolute only time this person ever sends me a message, never calls me, but only sends me a message, the absolute only time in the last, 3 years? At least the last 3 years, the only time I ever hear from this person is if they want something from me. Praise the Lord. Now, I always mess around with them a little bit, and I never give them what they want. Why? Because I'm not going to. Why? They're not committed to me. Why would I take time out of my schedule to be committed to somebody who's not committed to me? But yet people think our Heavenly Father is looking down upon us. They hear that God wants to bless them, and they love that. But they want to give nothing back to God. They say, well, I just want to go do my own thing, God. He isn't going to bless you. He isn't going to keep you free. Why? Because the principles of the word don't work that way. If you're not committed, if you're not committed to God, if you're not hooked up to what he's doing, if you don't care about his plan, Praise the Lord. See, that's the thing. Everybody hears the end of Jeremiah 29:11. Blessing plans to bless you. Praise the Lord and to bring you and give you a future and hope. Everybody hears that, but they forget the first part. I have a plan, for I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you. I know the ones I have for you, not yours. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Amen. And so this is why people, because they're not committed to God, they don't see the answers, or they see a half-hearted answer. It seems like, listen, the Bible says that whatever measure you use will be measured back to you. Amen. That's Luke 6:38 at the end of that scripture. Now, it's talking about finances, but it applies to other things in life as well. Praise the Lord. You know, I was teaching about God's prosperity last night. And the truth of the matter is very plain. Praise the Lord. God has provided everything for us. If we don't have it, it's not His fault. God has provided everything. All the finances you need, they're already provided for. If you don't have them, it's not His fault. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. I ain't gonna blame you. I'll let you blame you. Praise the Lord. You know how it goes. But you know what I'm saying is that as much as we hook up to the Word, always works. I can't apologize for that. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it or come around a different way or try to make it seem like something that's not. The Word always works when you work it. Amen? But it all matters, this faith, this idea. You know, there's this idea in Christianity, and it's been here for decades, maybe centuries, I don't know. But this idea that you just go to a church and maybe there's some kind of hope there. That's why a lot of people go to church, because maybe there's some kind of hope there. Well, brothers and sisters, this ain't your local First United Frozen Chosen. Amen. We teach the Word of God. We teach the truth. I'm just not going to teach tradition because it makes you feel good. I'm going to teach you the truth that if you connect to it, it will change your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. How do I know? My life is one of the most extreme cases that I've known. One of the most, I didn't say the most, but one of the most extreme cases I know of people who were disinterested, people who were lost, people who were unable, people who were not willing, all these things. I mean, that's what my life is full of, was full of. You notice that was a was, not is, but was. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. My life was full of that, but God came in, and because I had a heart that was right towards Him, He was able to work with that and change it. Amen. Glory to God. So it means to be committed to trust in. Hallelujah. When you believe in someone, you are committed to them. If you believe in God, you will be committed to Him, because the whole committed thing, you understand what's really connected. Like, it's just like this. It's like my wife, when she got up here, and this is where the next week's thing was spurred from. When my wife got up here and mentioned tithes and offerings, you could almost feel the air get sucked out of the room. But if you knew why God gave us tithes and offerings, you'd be rejoicing. Rejoicing. But see, a lot of people don't know, and they don't care to know, because it's all about them. It's my money. That's all they're asking for, my money again. Well, if that's the way you see it, then you haven't listened to the Word. Praise the Lord. God has given us that so we increase. In fact, tithes and offerings are the only way that a person's going to increase, and yet people reject it. Now, I'm not here to preach about tithes and offerings, but it's the truth. Amen. And so we understand this, that we need to connect and commit to what God's doing, because we understand that there's rejoicing that is supposed to come from the Word. But the rejoicing is not in some kind of fake rejoicing just because, oh, we're going to put it on, praise the Lord. But the rejoicing is actually, it's God, praise the Lord, glory to God. Sorry. I didn't know if maybe there's angels in here or something. I'm just checking, praise the Lord, it's okay. Glory to God. I thought I heard something, but listen, it happens to everybody. It's happened to me, praise the Lord. You know, praise God, hallelujah, it happens to everybody. It's just the day we live in. Glory to God. I've gotten messages where I've been preaching before, so glory to God. Don't feel bad about it. We glory to God. But glory to God. Praise the Lord. But God has given us these things to rejoice, because so we would actually rejoice. We have reason to rejoice. Amen. He's given us reasons to rejoice. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you do not get acquainted with who God is, you cannot ever understand what He desires from or for you. Praise the Lord. You'll never understand it. It will never make sense to you. Praise the Lord. Without that knowledge, you cannot, I even put it in big letters, cannot. You cannot come in faith. Praise the Lord. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And so you have to understand what God's will is for your life. Listen, God wants you happy. He wants you blessed. As I serve God, the longer I serve God, the more I find that God wants to bless me with things that I enjoy. He wants to. So for us to sit around focusing on the things we enjoy, it's such a lower level, because all we're doing is we're forgetting our connection with God, who's the one. You know, Proverbs 10:22, I love the scripture. It says that God, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, but he adds no sorrow to it. Don't you know, if you get things in the world, they'll add sorrow to it. But that's not God's desire. His desire is that you be blessed with no sorrow. But we have to determine, I'm going to connect to this. And connecting to God is not hard. Sometimes in our flesh, we might say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, but that's the thing. We have to teach our flesh to be right. Amen? We have to teach our flesh to hear right. I have a mind that does not like to stay still. Does not like it. Sometimes I'm forced to make it. Why? Because I want to be able to hear from God. I have a mind that wants to be here and wants to be there and wants to look at this and see that and go here and go there. You know, and God forbid I sit down for 15 minutes. I want to be doing, amen? That's just because something I was born into. But we have to learn to control that, amen? And it's a process. I'm still working at it. But what I've found is that when I do, I'm blessed as a result of it. That God, when I take those times, that God, I can hear God's voice. And when I hear God's voice, he gives me direction. He gives me knowledge. Praise the Lord. He gives me direction, gives me knowledge. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And so we have to understand that the will of God is for us to be connected to him. He wants a relationship, desires a committed relationship with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Husbands and wives, I'm just going to tell you, if you have marital problems or if you have marital issues, the number one reason is because one or both of you are not connecting to God. Amen. You can try in the world all you want, but I'm just going to tell you right now, I will give you your hope right now. If you do things according to the world, your marriage will fail. It's going to fail. So either determine that you want it or you don't want it, but make it get off the fence. You know what I mean? Because if you want it, you'll do what you have to do to get there. If you don't want it, then you won't do what you have to do to get there. You'll do what you always did. And then you'll get what you always got. And then you'll probably blame somebody crying or something like that. But don't blame God in front of me, because I'll bark at you. Because I know that you heard it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Listen, I am not trying to make things light. I understand. I've gone through I understand all of those things. I understand them. But because I understand them, I can sit here and preach the truth to you. If you want help, make God the focus of your life and watch how your relationship prospers. Why do my wife and I have such a wonderful relationship? Not because we're so awesome, but because God is, and our focus is him. Our focus is whatever you want, God, whatever you have for us. Praise the Lord. That's always the peace. It always brings peace. Amen. And always puts us back on the right path. God desires good things in your life. Amen. The question is, do you really? Now, see, I shared this last night, and I've shared this before, but I'll share it again. Praise the Lord. I was meditating on some scripture one day, and the Lord was speaking to me about deception and said the number one way that we are deceived is by ourselves. It's not from the devil. It's not from outside influence. The number one way that we humans are deceived is by themselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I immediately went to prayer when I heard that, and I was like, Lord, help me to be a person who's never deceived by me. Help me to be a person who's never deceived by me. I keep that prayer often. Why? Because deception comes often. Praise the Lord. Deception comes all the time. It comes for you all the time. Will you allow yourself to be deceived? Well, I've determined in my heart, as much as I know, I'm not going to be. And so I keep that prayer before the Lord. But I told my son Caleb that day, because I was with him a little later on, I said to him, I was like, buddy, I was like, just understand that the number one way that people are deceived is through themselves. Don't allow yourself to be deceived, especially by you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, why do I say all that? Because most of what people go through, they're being deceived. They're being deceived, and they're being deceived by themselves. They think it's this way, or I think that this should be right. Praise the Lord. Do you know, I have things in ministry that come up all the time at me, things that come at me as a pastor, as a minister, different things of doctrine, different things where people disagree, different things where there's opposition. Amen? And there's times where every time, I can tell you of several different times since I've been a pastor, that my entire theology is rocked to the core. Yeah. What do I mean by that? Oh, something you thought that you knew, something that you almost based your life on, and all of a sudden it seems like it's getting rattled, shaken. Is this even true? Praise the Lord. When those are the moments, especially when I have to determine, I will not be deceived even by me. I keep an open heart and I say, Lord, just because I thought this for the last 5 years, just because I preached this for the last 5 years, doesn't mean that I have to go on with it. If it's wrong, you let me know and I'll change it. Why? Because I can always be changed. But I meet many Christians. There are Christians in this room. I believe I'm speaking prophetically, not as a prophet, but prophetically. But there are Christians in this room hearing this word that I'm speaking to you right today, and you will be deceived. You will stay in your deception because you won't realize that it applies to you. Ooh, I'm looking around real fast because I don't want to stop at anyone. I don't know who, but I'm just telling you the truth. Will you be deceived by yourselves? Now, to a level, we all will be at some degree in little things, but it's the big, you know, it's bigger things that matter. Will we allow deceptions to remain? If we are going to allow deception to remain, then we will just stay deceived. The saying, dumb and happy. Well, you might stay dumb and happy for a while, but someday you will stand before the Lord, and you will find out the truth, and you're not going to be happy in that moment. Amen? We want to make sure that we are not deceived. Hallelujah. You know, as a pastor, when I have somebody who's, you know, things that are brought, issues that are brought before me, and sometimes issues that are brought before me, I can't see a way out of it in the natural. Somebody brings something to me, and I've had everything from extreme health things to extreme job things or house things or, you know, just whatever it is, marital things, just the wide array of things, anything you can imagine pretty much, I've had brought before me. And there's times when I look at it and say, I can't see a way out of it. Praise the Lord. Well, what do I do then? Do I revert to, God must not be true. This must not be true. See, I could allow that to be with as many things come to me at different times. You could be a person that could very easily say, well, maybe it isn't. You know, maybe this isn't right. But see, I hang on the truth. And when I do, it helps. It always helps those people. And if those people connect to it, those people always receive from it. Amen. And I've seen it over and over and over again. From everything from healing to marital issues, it does not matter. God will come in and he will infiltrate your life. He will change it. If you stick to that place of being committed to what his word says, the truth of the word, amen? Romans 5:1, praise God, hallelujah. Somebody preaching my time away. Romans 5:1, praise the Lord. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace through God, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You are justified by faith, by what you believe. Remember, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe. Amen. Must believe. Praise the Lord. But through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's that? Through the connection of our Lord. Through that connection of the blood that was spilled for our sakes. Through that connection of the salvation that he's provided for us. That's where the answer is. It's in that connection. Praise the Lord. Notice it's, we have peace with God by faith. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God by faith. But through, praise the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. The connection, and how do we connect to it? Amen. Connecting to God is not just saying, I believe that you exist, God. Jesus, I believe you did this for me. It's not just saying that. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. There's something on the floor. It looked like a big bug. That's the only reason I was looking at it. It was just a piece of fabric or something. Praise God. We'll move on. Amen? See, we can get distracted by anything, can't we? Squirrel! Praise the Lord. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in that connection. And so we need to build that connection. That's what our most important thing is that we can do. I've sat on my couch in there or in the office back there and had people sit on the couch and talk to them. And I've told several people, many people, the same thing. I said, if you'll commit to God and you'll listen, you'll come to church and you'll listen. It's like in a year from now, you won't even recognize your life. And it's always true if they listen. But then people that don't listen, there's no change. Why is there no change? It's because you didn't enact change. God gives us the ability for change. It's kind of like addictions. You know, God doesn't, most times, and I've noticed this, God doesn't just rip the addiction away from a person. Why? because that wouldn't get you anything if you just ripped it away. See, a lot of times you think that if you're in poverty, if you've been, I used to think this way when I was in poverty, when I was always just poor. I would think, well, if God would just, if he would just bless me with this, or if he just blessed me with that, that would be my answer. It's never the answer. Why? Faith is the answer. Why? Because money will come and go. It'll be there or not be there. Whether or not I'm poor has nothing to do with whether or not I have money has nothing to do with poverty. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have $0 in my pocket right now. Zero. Praise God. Hallelujah. But if I needed money for something, now I'm not saying that so somebody come give me money. I'm not, that's not the purpose of me saying that. I'm saying it was currently, right at the moment, I may have a couple dollars in my wallet, I should say that. I can't remember if I spent my coffee money or not. But praise the Lord. But whether or not I have money has nothing to do with how I walk through life. Why? Because whatever I need, God will provide. Why? Because I follow after God. I know that it will. Amen? And so I'm not seeking outside sources. I'm not seeking outside sources to tell me whether or not that I'm loaded or not. Amen? Praise the Lord, because I've been given all things through Christ. Praise the Lord. Now look at what it says here in verse 2. It says, through whom, Jesus Christ, right? Through whom we also, or whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now I got to break this down for you a little bit. Through whom? So through Jesus, that connection with Jesus, we have access by what? Faith. We don't have access because of what we say. We don't have access because of what grandma believed. We don't have access because of what tattoo we have about, you know. Listen, I've been there too. Go get a faith tattoo. You ever gotten a faith tattoo? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I did. Early young Christian, I thought, well, I certainly got to go out and get a tattoo of Jesus on me or something, you know. People do that. That doesn't make, I'm not saying you're right or wrong. I'm not saying anything about tattoos. I'm just saying that that doesn't say you have faith. Just because you have something tattooed, I see a lot of people wearing crosses. You ever seen that? But just because somebody's wearing a cross doesn't mean they have faith. Amen. Doesn't mean they have any more access to God. Glory to God. Some people wear crosses like lucky rabbit's foot. That's not faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not. It isn't. Just because you have a cross on or you have this prayer or this thing or whatever written down, it doesn't mean anything. Praise the Lord. You have access through Jesus, through your connection to him, by faith. Remember what we were talking about, faith. It was being committed to, understand, believing, trusting, being committed to. Amen? All those things, right? We have access by that into this grace. What is the grace of God? Praise the Lord. The grace of God is our ability that we didn't have on our own. Listen, if you don't have God, then you have no hope. You just don't. There's no hope for your life. You could be, there's a house, big, famous house up in Buffalo that we went and saw. Beautiful house designed by one of my favorite architects and just an awesome place. Now it's a museum. Praise God. Hallelujah. They've spent, you know, 40-some million dollars restoring it over the past 10 years. I don't know. It's just restoring it, right? The house was designed by an architect, but it was commissioned by a man named Darwin D. Martin. When he designed that house, he basically had no budget for the house. He was basically like, just build what you build. And that's what he did. And that's why it's a marvel. Everybody goes sees it. But then the depression happened. The stock market crashed. Darwin D. Martin died, and there was $7 in his bank account. The man who had this house built. The man was so poor when he died, they couldn't even put a gravestone at his grave. And he built that house. You see, that's the hope of the world. Now, I don't know if that man was saved or not. I'm sure he wasn't taught prosperity. Praise the Lord by this. But he came from nothing and ended up at nothing. Why? Because he was going according to the course of the world. If you walk out there and you talk to any person out there that's unsaved, any person that doesn't know God, they don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Waking up today is as much a surprise to them as it is to you. You know, if they get into an accident, I mean, it's as much a surprise to them, and they don't know how they're going to get out of it. They don't know. I lived this way once. Listen, folks, that's no way to live. The people of God shouldn't live that way. Why? We've been given access through faith. Amen. But we have to allow that connection to be, because that faith will never grow in us if there's no connection with God. Because God is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. And so without him, without a connection to him, you don't have access to that. You know, I've used this example many times, but I'll use it again. You know, there's certain people that can just go into my house randomly anytime they want. Praise the Lord. Most of the front row anyways. They can just walk in there anytime they want. There's no question. I wouldn't be like, what are you doing here? You know what I mean? But now anybody else, I might have a question. What are you doing here, right? Praise the Lord, because I'd be wondering. It's weird that you're in my place. Listen, we need to have a relationship with God where it's not weird that we're standing before him. You know, it's like, how many Christians, you think about this, when I go to God, when I sit down to pray with God and to have time with God, is he looking at me saying, hi, I'm God, nice to meet you, who are you? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, is he looking at you saying, well, I'm trying to think, but, have you ever seen something like, I never forget my wife's name, thank God. Hallelujah. I never forget my wife's name. Well, it would be really strange if I come in and called her something different, wouldn't it? Yeah. She would think it's strange, too. Praise the Lord. She wouldn't like it, and I soon wouldn't like it. Amen? Praise the Lord. But I've never forgotten my wife's name. But, you know, there's people that I've seen that I used to spend lots of time with. And I'll see them in the store, and I'm thinking, what's their name? What was their name? And it'll drive me bonkers trying to figure out what their name was. Yeah. You ever been there? Yeah. Why? Because you're not around them enough. Yeah. Yeah. Why do we need to be so acquainted with God, have such a relationship with God, that when we stand before him, we know that we're in the right place. Right. If you go to God and you don't know if you can ask this, you don't spend enough time with God. Yeah. If you go to God and you don't know that what you're asking him, if he'll actually answer it or not, you don't spend enough time with God. If you stand before God and you're like, and you're unsure, the Bible says, come before the throne of grace boldly, boldly. What is boldly? Oh, boldly get up in your face and say, I'm here. This is where I'm supposed to be. Praise the Lord. Religious people hate that I'd say that. But the truth is, God loves it when people come to him boldly. Because they know their place. Do you know your place with God? Amen? Praise the Lord. So how you come matters. How do you come before the Lord? How do you present yourself before the Lord? Do you present yourself? You don't have to. I don't know every scripture that's in here. Amen? I can't. Some scriptures I read and I think, man, that's a good scripture. I must have been in it before, but I just didn't remember it. Yeah. Do you remember all the scriptures? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so, but I know enough, praise the Lord, to know my place with God. I'm endeavoring to learn more scriptures. I'm endeavoring to get greater revelations. Revelation that I've had isn't enough for me. You know, that's what a lot of denominations do, is they preach the revelation that they've had, and they never gain more. I don't want to do that. I want to continue preaching more, out of greater and deeper revelation. I should know more today than I did yesterday. Right. Amen. You know, metaphorically or whatever. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we have access by faith into this grace, which is God's ability working in us, in which we stand. Now notice that. That's an important phrase there. In which we stand. What do you stand in? You stand on the grace or in the grace. The grace is what enables you to be able to do whatever you got to do. The grace is what enables you to conquer the mountain that's set before you. When something rises up unexpected and you don't know what to do about it, that grace will meet you and you have access to it by faith. And if you know that, praise the Lord, that mountain won't move you. You'll move the mountain. Because you stand there and you're like, wait a minute, this is my place and you're intruding in my space. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Not enough people go to the devil, praise God. Not enough people go to the devil and tell him that he's wrong. Right. You know, I preached a message about it. I highly suggest if you get a chance, listen to last night's message. It'll bless you. It'll help you. But I'm just telling you, man, we need to judge things. We need to look at things and be like, that ain't right. Move. It's not. That ain't right. Get out of here. You know, instead of looking at it crying, we need to just speak to it. Move on. Pray for somebody who don't know. That's what we're saying. Our prayers are meant for other people. Now, I'm not saying the Bible says that you have not because you ask not. We understand that. There's nothing wrong with going before the Lord and saying, hey, Lord, you know what? This is a desire of my heart. Put it there. But you know, the Bible says to cast your cares. And what I've seen in that recently was something really interesting. Casting your cares means to cast your care about anything you care about. Anything. You want something? Cast it on God. Why? Because he'll take care of it. That's as simple as it is. That's as simple as it is going to God with our prayers. You ain't got to spend, if you're spending hours on your knees praying for your own stuff, you've missed the whole point. You've missed it. We have access to the Father by faith. Do you believe it or do you not? My access to the Father is this. Lord, this is the desire of my heart. Now I'm going to leave it on you. I'm not going to think about it anymore because I know that you'll take care of it. I know that you'll bring it to pass. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I'm not talking about being a spoiled little brat going down the candy aisle saying, I want this and I want this and I want this and I want this. I love what Reverend Greer said. He said, you can't have everything you put your greedy little eyes on. Amen? Praise the Lord. That is not the purpose of the prosperity message. That's not the purpose of God granting us our prayers so we just can just go down the aisle and say, this is all mine. You remember the old supermarket sweep shows or whatever? And they'd run through. I remember, man, you think about what aisle would you go to if you got that, man? You got 50 seconds. You get to go through this grocery store with a cart and fill it up as much as you can, you know? And you know exactly that. Everybody's got a game plan when they go in there. There's people like, I'm not going to go over there to the dollar aisle. I'm going over where the meat is. Amen. And they're loading that up with all the expensive meat. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't know how I got on all that. But see, listen, you know why people do that? You know why that resonates with people? And it used to resonate with me. Because you don't think you could have that. And see, that's not a person who knows God. Because a person who knows God knows that he wants to provide all that meat for them. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Even for my wife, all the vegetarian meat, all the non-meat meat. Amen. You have it all. He doesn't mind. But you know, it's just like with the Israelites and the manna. He didn't just dump it all in your lap at once. Why? Faith needs to be attached to it. We have access by faith. Praise the Lord. I am not getting far fast at all. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So now we're getting into some of the message. Philippians 2. I don't know why, but I just love every time I say Philippians in the pulpit, because I think flip to the Philippians. And that just always blesses me. I always think it. Flip on over to the Philippians. Hallelujah. It's the little things. That's right. As I've left my early youth and I'm getting into my next stage of youth, praise the Lord, I've been learning that there's certain things that change, and I'm okay with that. I'm great with that. My family's been joking about how I tell a lot more dad jokes than I used to, praise the Lord. But I like dad jokes. They're funny. Amen. That's kind of one of them, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Philippians 2, verse 1. We'll read through verse 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, if there's anything you can bank on, amen, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Praise the Lord. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there's always opportunities for us to look at each other, especially when we're serving God. There's always opportunities for us to look at each other and say, I don't like what they're doing. I don't like how you just said that to me. I don't like how you've been acting. I don't like this. I don't like that. Praise the Lord. There's always opportunity. Let's be of one accord and one mind. That's like petty garbage. Listen, we've all, if we've gotten past high school, we've all gotten out of high school. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're still in high school, just learn this early on so you don't, you know, it's high school garbage. You know, for people to sit there and nitpick about this and that and this and that, who cares? Like, really, if somebody is snotty towards you, is that going to really change your life at all? And if it does, there's a serious issue with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if God let a lot more snotty people come around you until you get that stupidity worked out of you. Yeah, because that's what it is. If you get moved because somebody spoke a certain way to you, I have been there. Sometimes I'm there. And the Lord has to deal with me. Amen. You know, some people just want to jump on people. Listen, maybe somebody's having a bad day. Maybe they're having a bad moment. Maybe they're having a bad year because they ain't been listening to the word. What's it to you? Pray for them. You'd be more effective praying for him than you would be talking about him. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I've seen people that get upset in churches about competition in churches. Like, come on now. If we're all doing what God has called us to do, then why would we be competing against one another? That's just stupid, right? Well, praise the Lord. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, I don't have any idea what he's talking about, well, praise the Lord. Maybe you need to get more faithful to church. Glory to God. I'm just saying, praise the Lord. Because, you know, in any family, that's what we experience in families. If you haven't noticed, we just had Thanksgiving, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Wow. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, he's not saying look out for your own interests. He's saying don't just look out for your own interests. Look out for the interests of others. Others, it matters. Listen, God's blessing flows more fluidly in people that are caring about other people than it does in people that are caring about themselves. In fact, people that are just caring about themselves, they just are not getting it. And if God, now God, Jesus told Brother Hagin, he said, I bless all my people as far as I can, as much as I can. Praise the Lord. If God has that much of wiggle room to get you something, by God, he's going to get you it. I'm just telling you, that's how good our God is. The Bible says that he causes the rain to come on the just and the unjust. Yeah. Amen? So he is, you know, there will be people that will be blessed just because you're in an area, because God just wants to. God will send us to an area just to bless an area. Do you know what that's what Corey is? God has sent us there just to bless that area. He, because somebody has called out because he just loved that. He's just looking for an opportunity to get somewhere. Do you know why God has us do these different things and plant different churches? Because he just wants to bless that area. He's like, listen, God may plant 20 different kinds of churches in the same area, but you know why he'll do it? I'm not saying every church that's planted is of God, but he may do 20 different kinds of churches because his idea is this. He looks at the thing and he's like, well, people won't listen to all of it, but if they'll listen to this much, then I'll get somebody who'll give them that much. And because somebody will go there and preach that much, then I'll send that there, because then somebody will get something that I have for them. Because God has so much more for us than all of us can sit there and think. But the problem is that people aren't willing to go. They're not willing to take it. God's just saying, take something to them. Praise the Lord. Just bless them. Go bless them. That's why we need to just have a heart sometimes to just be a blessing. Just be generous people. And I'm not just talking about when the bucket goes by you. I'm not talking about when you stand here in church or when the pastor comes by you. I'm talking about in life. Make your life to be marked by generosity. Why? Because that's what our Heavenly Father is. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let each of you look out for not only his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Job 42:10, I'm not going to have you turn there, but you can write it down if you want. Job 42:10, it says, and the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. In the King James Version, it says he turned the captivity of Job when he what? Prayed for his friends. Notice he didn't turn the captivity of Job when he prayed for himself. He turned the captivity of Job when Job put his attention on something else. Praise God. I want to get through this because I got a few minutes here. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me real quick. Do I want to do that? No, we're not going to turn there. Praise the Lord. But I just want you to listen to this. Write this down if you're taking notes. Luke 9:23. Why do you suppose God wants us to always focus on others? This is a question I want to ask you. Praise the Lord. He says, worship God, right? Yeah. We read a lot about that. Pray for them. Worship God. Do this. Do that. Everybody thinks it's because they always think about it from the wrong reason. Right. Luke 9:23 says, Jesus said, then he said to all them, or them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See, a lot of people on the surface, when you're a surface Christian, you look at that and say, oh, God just wants me to give up. Okay, Galatians 2:20 says, Galatians 2:20, praise the Lord if you're taking notes, I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we see this again, giving up ourselves, crucifying our flesh, putting our own desires down. Amen? And people are like, why does God have us do that? Why does God have us do that? Well, now you can turn with me to Ephesians 4:20. And this is where our answer will be. Ephesians 4:20 through 4:24 says, but you have not so learned Christ. Remember, be good students. See, some Christians never learn Christ. They never learn why Jesus does the things he does. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Praise the Lord. Are you his disciples or not? The truth is in Jesus. It's in what he did. He showed us the will of the Father. That's what Jesus did when he was here. He showed us how to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The old man, the man that you were when you came in, the human that you were, it grows corrupt. It grows towards corruption. Amen? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That renewing is not just a be renewed like metaphorically or an idea of being renewed. No, this is an actual renewing. That God wants to renew your life. He wants to reinvigorate you. He wants to impart things into you. But you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where it starts, and that's with your thoughts, how you think about it. You have to put off the former man, the one that you came in with. You have to say, no, that wasn't the right way to go. Amen? And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So God has told us to put on something else. Praise the Lord. God desires us to live in light and easy, just like Pastor Michael was preaching. And yet we muck it up. We do, with all of our lusts and our desires. We muck that light and easy up. Because what we do is we get something we desire, and we just can't take our attention off of it for a minute. It's all about us, all about us, all about us. What I want, what I want, what I want. And God's trying to say, listen, I want you to live in a place that's light and easy, a place that's not dragging you down, a place where you're not weighed down by your own desires. Have you ever been weighed down by a desire where sometimes you just wish, man, I just wish I could stop wanting this, because if I could stop wanting this, it wouldn't be holding me down anymore. I could go into something else. Well, see, that's exactly what God has for you. He wants you to get into the light and easy. He wants you to stop worrying about how you're going to pay the bills. He wants you to stop worrying about how you're going to be healed. He wants you to stop worrying about how you're going to make it to the other side. He just wants you to get into his flow, because his flow will just carry you there. He says light and easy. He wants you to go there resting. He wants you to go there sleep in the back of the boat. He doesn't want you paddling. God does not want you paddling. He wants you in the boat, but he doesn't want you working to get there. He wants to take you there. That's the desire of his heart. See, when you are focused on you, what happens is you call to yourself. It's always dragged down into that arena where there's never, because you can just have a desire. It's not wrong to have a desire. But when you let your desire control you, all it does is keep you where that is, and that's never having the desire. God's saying, just focus on me, and I'll take you up out of that, and you'll come with your desire. Your desire will chase you down, actually, the Bible says. It will chase you down. So you'll be like, whoa, desire, hold up, man. Just take it easy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. And think about this. I just want to give you an example. I want to use sickness because this is the one that came to me. Well, how does sickness work? And think about how this is of the devil. We know that sickness is of the devil. How does sickness work? When you're sick, I don't care if it's a little cold or if it's a serious disease, it doesn't matter. But it makes you feel miserable, right? And when something feels miserable or not right, what does your attention do? It focuses on it. You know what I mean? I've broken many bones in my life. I don't know if you've ever broken a bone, but one thing I can tell you about a broken bone is you always know where it is. Yeah. Amen? You may not know that you have a bone right here, praise the Lord, or right here. But I'll tell you what, I broke this one in half. And especially when they set that in the hospital, oh, I knew right where that bone was. There was no doubt in my mind I had a bone there. In fact, there was no doubt in my mind. I can't even tell you just by standing here what direction that bone is necessarily pointed. But I can tell you, I knew then. I knew everything about that bone. I knew just how long it was, praise the Lord. I also know that that bone is connected to every single nerve in my body. How do I know that? Because when they set that, every nerve in my body said, yeah! Hallelujah! But what does it do? In that moment, I was not thinking about blessing anybody. In that moment, I was thinking about blessing the one who just said it. Praise the Lord. But I wasn't thinking about bless. You know what I mean? Sometimes, like, being an emergency room doctor has got to be probably the hardest thing in the world. Praise the Lord, or a emergency room nurse or something, you know, I mean, just like to be in there, because it's always people, they're not happy. I mean, they're there because they need you, but they don't want to need you. Amen. But you know, like, but it draws the attention, and so the attention is on that. I'm not doing anything good when I'm focused on that, am I? Now, you know so full well, if you pull the muscle or something like that, you're limping around, and you know, this year I lifted a rock that was way too big for me to be lifting and didn't decide that it was too big until after I tried to lift it, amen? But for 3 days, I was horizontal, and not always just horizontal because I was in such excruciating pain for doing it. What was it? My focus was there. Yeah. I can tell you, I wasn't getting deep revelation that week. Hallelujah. I wasn't getting into the Word and praying in the Spirit, and I wasn't, you know, praying out your lives or anything like that. And so, see, that's what it does, is these things, they focus, the devil uses them to manipulate us and to focus our attention in an area that doesn't need focus. Yeah. Amen? Now, if we trust God, those areas, he'll take care of those areas, and he'll actually be able to move on them faster. Hallelujah. You know, we have the examples of the people in the Bible. There was a woman that was with the issue of blood. How many years was it? 12 years she had it? 1 second with Jesus. 1 instant with Jesus. And it was all gone. 12 years she spent all her money on it. All her attention was on it. Praise the Lord. 1 second with Jesus was gone. What about the man by the pool of Bethesda? How long was he there? 8 years? Something like 8 years or something like that. He was laying there. 1 second with Jesus. Praise the Lord. 1 second with Jesus. Instantly with Jesus. What about the other people that he healed? The lepers, the beggars, the guy that came to him about his son that was being tormented. How long was that kid tormented? 1 second with Jesus. He was taken care of. What do you think God was doing here? He's showing us something, folks. 1 second with Jesus, truly with Jesus, in that faith, changes everything. So that's where our focus needs to be. Amen. So as we do this, let's learn to be people that reach for that higher. And in that higher, remember, being one of court, blessing others, being looking where you can pour out into someone else's life. And that's not always with money. Sometimes it may be with something that you do. Just you follow the Spirit on it, and God will help you. But you'll have opportunity. But don't be afraid of it either. Allow God to work in you. Allow God to do these things to you. And as you desire to, and again, if you just like, you know, you're at a point where you're just like, I just don't know. I just want to go further, and I just can't quite get there. Then come see us, and we'll help you. It's not that we're going to go, okay, you get the toilet ministry. That's not what that means, praise the Lord. Not that that would be a bad thing, but it means that we can help direct you, and that's what our, you know, we do this for, amen? Well, praise the Lord. God's got great things for us. He's got great things for this church and this group of people. I believe it with all my heart, or I wouldn't keep doing this. Praise the Lord. I would go do something else, amen? But I love doing this. It's a joy. It's a pleasure. It's everything to me, praise the Lord, because God has given us this work. And we just love you so much. Thank you for being with us. Praise the Lord.